then have been fulfilled in 2,000 years within this time period. They will all be rolled out. And the Bible says they'll shortly come to pass. In other words, when they start, they'll start one after the other, after the other, after the other to be fulfilled. And what period of time is that? Diane? 70th week of Daniel. Daniel 9, 24 through 27. It's 7-year period. 1 7-year period. 360 days in the prophetic Bible year. 7 years. And you can count it down. Once that starts, all these prophecies are going to roll out from the parchment of the book onto the pavement of fulfillment. I believe right now we're seeing not prophecies of the 70th week of Revelation being fulfilled, but I believe we're seeing prophecies being fulfilled in the Middle East of Scripture, like Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7, in this Gaza invasion. By the way, make no mistake, this Middle East war is going to get bigger. I believe it's going to get bigger. You haven't seen the end of it yet. And more prophecies are going to be fulfilled. They're preparing us for the 70th week of Daniel. But when that starts, these prophecies will come to pass. Okay? So it's very important that you understand this, because he said, blessed are they that keep what's written, the sayings of the prophecy. Why is that important, that not only have you read it and heard it, but that you keep it in your memory when these things start being fulfilled? Why is that important, Joe?
Because you'll be able to spot those things happening.
Yep.
You'll see it right in front of you.
Yeah, that's right. And your faith will not be overthrown by that, because these are going to be tough things. And also, you'll have patience. You'll have patience because you'll know, okay, this has got to happen. Then next, this has got to happen. But next, the Lord is coming. See, the Bible doesn't say that the Lord will come back as an any moment signless event like so many teach today. No, the book of Revelation says there are things that are signposts that lead up to it. And when you get into that last 7 years, you should know and have teaching and have preaching that will help you to see, this is where I am. So you can get ready. And you'll know about where you are. Not the day or the hour of his coming, but you'll know the season and you'll know what's going on. Just like we know we're in winter right now. Amen? We feel it. We're in winter. Although it's a warm winter, we're in winter, right? And you know the seasons. And so you'll know where you are and what's coming next. What's coming after winter?
Spring.
And you know that. So that's the way it should be for you if you're taught. Now, people that don't know these things, even though they may be professing Christians, but they're not being taught properly, how is this prophecy, these prophecies being fulfilled, how are they going to hit them? Yeah, Diane? They're not going to be prepared. They're going to be surprised. They're going to be confused. They're going to be, what's going on? Now, then maybe they'll ask you and you can help them, because they're going to need help. And this is a survival guide. The book of Revelation, I used to think the book of Revelation was just something for after the rapture for people that are left. A survival guide. No, it's for us. It's for the churches. People say, where are the churches in the 70th week? Read Revelation 2 and 3. The churches are here right up till the Lord comes back. Read those letters. They deal with the Lord and him coming back. And they deal with some of these churches that people are in them not saved. They're going to go right into judgment in the day of the Lord. It's right in there. So don't tell me the church isn't in the tribulation or in the 70th week. That's hogwash. And it's not popular. I know what I'm preaching to you is not popular. But it will help you to hear these things and keep them in your mind. And then the Lord says in verse 7, behold, I come quickly. And what that means is when he comes, it's going to happen very fast. Now, it's been a while since he's come. The first time, about 2,000 years. That ain't quickly. That's a while. To my mind. But when he comes, it's going to be like quick, like a lightning strike. How quick that can be, like, you know, you see a lightning strike, it just, that's the way he's going to come. It's going to come quickly. Does anybody know why that is important to us to know that? That when he actually starts to come, boom, it's going to be very quick. Why is that going to be so important to the church and to the churches when he comes back? That it's quick. Yeah.
Because of the rapture.
What's that?
Because of the rapture.
Yeah, because of the rapture. But why is that so important to have that quick rapture out of here? And that quick coming to get us. He's coming all the way from the third heaven. That's a long trip. But it's going to be so fast that he gets here. Why is that going to be important? Eddie?
Because people have been murdered and killed.
There you go! He nailed it. Because when he comes back, people are being killed for their faith. You say, oh, can that be? Yeah, it can be. All the apostles were killed except John for their faith, and he was boiled in oil and got out. But God is going to deliver some people so they won't be killed. They won't see the undertaker. They'll see the upper taker. And they'll be right away caught up to meet the Lord in the air and will ever be with the Lord. And it's got to be quick because the Bible says in Matthew 24, if those days were not shortened, and the word shortened is amputated, like you cut off an arm. In other words, the tribulation begins, the great tribulation, which is the killing and the murdering and arresting of believers, that begins at what point in time? Where is that starting? We've been talking about time and seasons. What point in time is the beginning of the great tribulation? Mike? Halfway. In the middle of the 7 years, right in the middle. And it is intended by the beast and the Antichrist to keep going and through the whole 3.5 years, because they're going to need the whole 3.5 years to kill everybody. That's a believer. And the Bible says, except those days be shortened or amputated, no flesh would be saved. And he's not talking about all flesh. He's talking about no believing flesh, no elect flesh would be saved. But God's going to cut it off. He's going to amputate it. In other words, it's not going to be able to last for its intended time of 3.5 years. Guys like John MacArthur, great Bible teachers, they say, oh, it just means sudden. It'll come to a stop suddenly at the end of the 3.5 years. No, that's not the word. The word is amputate. It means shorten, means cut off. From its intended time by the Antichrist and the beast, it's going to be shortened. What is going to stop the persecution before the rapture? Yes, Brother Eddie?
Darkness.
Darkness. Cosmic darkening. Sun, the moon, the stars. Everything will be dark. You won't be able to see your hand in front of your face. And that will stop it. And then the Lord, very quickly, like lightning, will show up, and the glory of His presence, he's like the sun, S-O-N. He's going to shine across the darkened sky. And everybody in the world will see it. Some people say, oh, it's going to be secret. You'll just disappear in your shoes and will be left and you'll be out of here. And people say, what happened? No, that's not it. The second coming is an epiphania in the Greek. That means a glorious outshining of the Lord, and the whole world will see it. God's people will say, yeah, man, our redemption is here. When that darkness comes, I'll be saying, praise God if I'm here. When the earthquake comes, praise God I'm here. The Bible says when that earthquake comes, there's going to be a great earthquake at the same time of the darkness. When that comes, it's going to cause tsunamis. And the Bible says people's hearts are going to fail them. Their pacemakers are going to stop. They're going to hear about all this stuff, and they're going to freak out like Eli did when he heard about the ark being dead, and they're going to drop dead. But God's people have said they're going to be going. They'll be going like I'll be going if Michigan wins the Rose Bowl. It doesn't look good, though, for the Big Ten. Penn State went down. Ohio State went down. Doesn't look good. I don't like that. It doesn't look good. But SEC is still rising here. But anyway, going like this. Going like this because our hero is coming quickly to get us out of here. And really, that's something that we can look forward to. Amen. Even now, we can look forward to that as these events begin to roll out and we see some things that make the world, you know, have heart attacks now, you know. We don't have to fear. And we can know that the Lord is near and will see us through these end times. And he's given us this book to help our faith to go through. So very good on that aspect. Now let's go down to our lesson 48 and look at number 1. And it says in Revelation 22:11, two totally, and the word there is different in the blank. Put in different futures of two groups of people are given. And so let's look at verse 11. And you can write that word in there. I'll read verse 11. And it says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, what's this talking about? It's talking about after the Lord comes back. And what's the first thing the Lord's going to do when he comes back? That's a good thing for us. What's the first thing he's going to do? Diane mentioned it. Eddie?
The rapture.
The rapture. And that means that after our bodies changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, because we got to be ready for space travel, amen, and boom, our body's going to be glorified just in that moment in the twinkling of an eye. See, right now, your body is not saved. But it will be at the rapture. And it'll be changed by the Lord so that it cannot get sick, cannot get old, cannot die. It will have the glorified body of the Lord himself in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That is what's going to happen. And then his angel or your angel, guardian angels, at least two for each person, will pick you up and carry you to the Lord. Literally carry you to where the Lord is. He's going to be in the sky. He's going to be above Jerusalem, and he will carry you to the Middle East. You will have a flight that you will like, and you'll be lifted out of here. And this is no fairy tale. This is sober truth. The Word of God teaches this. And so that's why this is important, my friends. And so he says at that point, if you are just, you're going to be just from then on in. In other words, verse 11 is saying, if you are saved and born again, when you see the Lord, you're not going to know everything you'll ever know. You say, what are you talking about? When I see the Lord, I'm going to see him as he is. I'll know everything. No, you won't. You will know him firsthand. Right now, you know him through the Bible. You don't see him face to face. It's like talking to somebody on a cell phone or texting them. You know them through a device, but you don't know them face to face. I'd rather be in church than watch it on a video or watch it from, you know, you got all these problems. People tell me all the time, I got all these problems. I can't hear. Come to church. But anyway, no, sometimes they can. I understand. But here's the deal. It's better to be face to face with the Lord. And so what I'm saying to you is that the Bible in verse 11 is saying, if you are saved, you are already just and you are going to see the Lord face to face, but you have a lot more future with the Lord. You're going to learn things with him. You're going to learn things directly from him. You'll be able to ask questions and get answers directly. Doesn't mean you know everything. But you'll have the direct opportunity now to get the answers more and more of things that you might want to know. And not only that, you will be able to serve the Lord. I believe we'll serve the Lord over this world for 1,000 years. But once this world is filled with people, and there may be new worlds to build. And you'll be part of whatever God has. It's going to go on forever. So your life just is beginning at the rapture. It's developing. It's growing. You're learning more. Now, right now, you have eternal life. Get a hold of what you got. Lay hold of eternal life. Get a hold of what you got, because it's going to go on forever. It's going to keep growing and developing and getting better and better. Somebody said gooder and gooder, you know. That's the way it is. But now, in verse 11, it says just the opposite for people that are not saved at the rapture. If they're unjust, they're going to be unjust still. If they're filthy, they're going to be filthy still. So, people that are not saved, even in hell, they're going to be filthy. And they're going to get worse. If they're bitter, they're going to get more bitter. If they're hateful, they're going to get more hateful. If they're cursing, they're going to curse more. If they want drugs and use drugs, they're going to want it more, but they're not going to be able to get what they want. Same thing with filthy sex and perversion that people get into. They're going to get worse and worse, but they're not going to be able to satisfy that need. And so now is the time to realize, which side are you on? Because at the rapture, it's too late. Once the Lord comes, if you've heard the gospel, you will not be able to get saved. It's over. You're done. Now you're just going to be judged during the day of the Lord. So it's so important to realize that and to be saved now by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, lay hold of what you are. Leave the world behind, because you're going to leave it behind when the rapture happens anyway. So get started right now. All right, then the next one in your notes, number 2, says in Revelation 22:14, the blessed group, the one we just talked about that's blessed, is looked at in their future place within a new heaven and a new earth. They are blessed to be in the new Jerusalem, which shares the throne of the Lord with the saved on earth. So let's read verse 14. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now remember, we said the city's on top. The New Jerusalem is on hanging on around the top of the high mountain called Mount Zion. And on the top of that is the temple. And so the New Jerusalem hangs over the temple and shares the temple with people on earth. And if people on earth want to go into the temple, they have to go through the gates that surround the mountain and surround the city. They have to go through one of 12 gates. They get there, they can see the temple, and they can have access to the city, the New Jerusalem. And in front of the temple, coming out of the temple, is this river of life. And on either side, what is growing? On either side of that river of life. Yeah.
The tree of life.
The tree of life. And it's right in the midst of a street that's on either side of the river. And there's a number of these trees, we find out from Ezekiel. It tells us there are a number of these trees of life. Now, the tree of life, when Adam and Eve sinned, if they would have eaten it, they would have stayed alive forever. So God wouldn't let them have access to it, because he didn't want them to stay alive forever in their fallen body and state, because it would have been bad. And so God didn't let them have access to it. And he's not going to let people on the millennial earth have access to it unless they're saved. Because if they're in the millennium and they're not saved and they eat that tree of life, they can live forever. God's not going to give them access. So they can't get through the gate. There's an angel guarding the gate. They can't get there to the tree of life. They can't get there to the holy city where our home is, the New Jerusalem. They can't get there. But if you're saved, you can get there. And you can be there. Now let me ask you this, if the people that come up there that live on earth eat from the tree of life, they can get diseases healed, they can prolong their life and so forth, they can do that. Will we who live in the New Jerusalem need to eat the tree of life to live forever?
No.
No, because we already have glorified bodies. So when we eat the tree of life, we can eat it, it tastes good. I think we're thinking of another tree called Calvary. And because the Lord died on that tree, that's why we can live forever. And the tree of life just reminds us of Calvary. So it's going to be like a Thanksgiving. Instead of a turkey, you'll be eating the tree of life. And enjoying it and having the enjoyment of this life. And so that is what that is saying. And it's saying that they that keep the commandments of God have a right to be there. But wait a minute, I thought we're saved by grace through faith, not by keeping the commandments. So why does it say in verse 14 that they that keep the commandments of God have a right to eat there? How does that get in there? How does that jive with the Bible? Yeah.
Well, I think it kind of falls after you get saved, you have a new nature, so therefore you want to do God's command.
There you go. He got it. After you get saved, you have a new nature. And that new nature makes you want to keep the commandments of God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says in 1 John, if you don't keep his commandments, if his commandments are burdensome to you, and I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but if you don't have a lifestyle that wants to keep the commandments of the Word of God, then you're not born again. And it shows you're not born again. And so you're not going to be there in that place, even though you may profess. Oh, you hear people say, I'm saved, but they live like the devil and they have no interest in God, no interest in the Bible, no interest in these things and living. Well, then they've never been born again. They have a lifestyle that goes against that. Now, I know we have a sinful nature. We fail, but we have a new nature, as Mike said, and we want to keep the commandments of God. And so do you want to make your calling and election sure? Believe God and keep his word. Do what he says. And the Holy Spirit will assure you, yeah, this is because you're saved that you're doing this. And you'll enjoy your life, your Christian life more. Now, if you're not saved, that's not going to work for you. You're not going to enjoy anything about God, his word, his command. I used to hate to go to church. I used to hate to have to hear preaching. I used to hate. This stuff would be horrible to me. I couldn't stand it. I wanted to do other things. But, you know, sometimes people come to church just to please somebody. They're being pulled like. That's how I was. My mother pulled me. It was horrible. But anyway, when you get born again, lay hold of what you got, because it's going to go on and on. It's going to be a blessing. All right, number three says, in Revelation 22:15, the cursed group is described as to some of their different character qualities. Now, this is the bad group. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. Each person sins in his or her own way. So let's look at this verse 15 and see how people are going to be that are not changed, are not born again. It says, for outside of the city and outside of the temple in the New Jerusalem, it says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So, there are going to be people on the outside that don't get in. They could be on the outside in hell. They could be on the outside living in the millennial earth, but not really born again. And they're going to be dogs outside the city. Anybody know what a dog is in the Bible? Yep.
It's anybody who was basically not
okay, anybody? Anybody not a Jew? Now, that's another term for dog, but it does say in the Old Testament, don't bring the hire of a dog into the temple. And anybody know what a dog is here? Yep.
Would it be somebody that's related to the father? Like, it's not, you know, in the family?
It's a sodomite. It's a homo. That's a dog. You ever seen a dog on another dog? They're same sex?
Yes.
That's what it's talking about.
I thought
I'll just bring it right down for you. Dogs are not coming. You get a new nature, God changes you from a dog to a cat or whatever. He changes your nature. And you don't practice that lifestyle. If somebody practices that lifestyle, they're a dog. Now, I've seen people saved out of being dogs, and they have their tendencies, but they, because they have a new nature, they don't go back into that lifestyle, into that world, you see, into that lifestyle. But if they do and they stay in there and they're comfortable in that lifestyle of being a dog, being a homo, you know, we got people today, they dress like men, dress like women, and that kind of thing. That's gross perversion. And those people are not going to be in here enjoying this city. And if they're in the kingdom, in the Lord's kingdom, and they want to be a homo, good luck, because the Lord's going to be on the throne. And if you practice that, you'll be arrested. You'll be arrested and executed by the Lord, by his government. And you who live there will be part of that government. Now, I realize we don't do that today. If a person is a homosexual in the United States, I don't advocate for arresting and executing a homosexual. However, in our country, there were laws against it. And that has been from the founding of our country, because we recognize God's moral law in our founding. And a country's gotten away from God, and so gotten our they're called blue laws. We don't carry out those laws anymore that used to be. So, but in the kingdom, when the Lord rules, they will be carried out. And so outside will be dogs. And then it goes on and it says sorcerers. Well, what are sorcerers? They're people that practice magic, that practice occult things, like wizards and sorcerers. And people that practice magic, they get their power from fallen angels or devils, spirits. And they give them the power to do what's called sorcery and to do magic. Does anybody know a wizard that's very famous that does magic? Yeah.
Harry Potter.
Very famous. A lot of quote-unquote Christians love Harry Potter. Oh, get Rowling's books and all that. It's nothing but sorcery. Sorcery. It's magic. And the magic is from the occult. It's not from God. God says, stay away from wizards. Stay away from sorcery. Stay away from the occult, okay? So, this is on the outside. And then it talks about whoremongers. I looked up whoremongers in a Webster's 1828 dictionary. You know what a whoremonger is? Anybody that practices sex outside of marriage. That's a whoremonger. Anybody that practices sex outside of marriage. Now, what is marriage? Marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman before God that we will be married until death do us part. And it has witnesses to that covenant. And it's a formal covenant recognized as a marriage covenant. That's what it is. Malachi 2. And people that just live together and they live and live and live together, but they never have that formal covenant before God and witnesses in a marriage ceremony, they are not married. You say they're common law. Well, they may be common law, but they're not married. Not according to the Bible. And God says then if they engage in sex, that is fornication. Well, they say, I just do it with one person. Well, then you're a monogamous fornicator. But you're still a fornicator or a whoremonger. And God says that, though, and this is very popular today, but God says those that have that kind of lifestyle, they're not going to be in there. They're not going to be in there. And then it goes on and it says murderers. murderers. And that's people that take human life. By the way, does a mother have the right to take a human life because it's in her body?
No.
Does that make her not a murderer? Does a doctor have a right to take a baby? Unless it's self-defense, which that is not murder, self-defense, you know, the life of the mother, then it's murder. And so it's not right. It's wrong. And that is going on in... I'm just telling you stuff that's going on today that if a person's into that, they need to repent of that and turn from that. And then... it says idolaters, that's anybody that worships anything other than the God of the Bible. Allah, you're an idolater. There's no Allah. He's not God. He's an idol. He's one of 360 gods worshipped by the Arabian people. Yeah, and that's another one, the almighty dollar. And that is covetousness, which is idolatry. According to Colossians. In so if you worship the almighty dollar, and God will test you to see if you'll put money before him. And that's why we talk about the tithe and the offering. The tithe is the Lord's, 10% off the top. Don't be an idolater. And so idolaters will not have their place. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie... so it's talking about a lifestyle of lying. By the way, we live in a world of lying. What is a lawyer? What is a liar? You know, if his lips are moving, not really, not every lawyer. I'm not saying that. Politicians, many of them. Fake news. Have you ever heard of fake news? These people are paid liars. And now they're going to have AI news guys. And, you know, they get a good-looking girl, good-looking man, and tell him what to say, and he says it for money. So he's an idolater and a liar, both. And by the way, they go together. They're together here, they go together. And they just lie for a living. If you're in that kind of job where you have to lie for a living, then if you're a born-again believer... You'll get out of that. You need to get out of that. So this is what is being talked about here in this place. And I would like to give you the homework, the last homework, and that is finish this lesson 48. The answers are there at the end, but you read it, you look at it, and you put in the answers yourself and finish the book of Revelation. Amen. Finish it this afternoon. Finish this lesson this afternoon and get it done. All right. Let's bow for prayer. I'll lead us in prayer. By the way, if you have not accepted the Lord, it says here the Spirit and the bride say come. If we are saved, we're the bride of Christ. And I say to you, come to Christ and put your faith in him to save you from going to hell. And from being cast out of the city. And he'll accept you, he'll save you, he'll give you a new nature and change your life. Father, I pray for any who are not saved that they would come to Christ and be born again. I pray for those that are saved, Lord, that we may keep in memory what we've read and studied. And Lord God, that we might